yourself in the invisible world of music, ears began to change and lives began to change, and those who were musically lame began to walk with a charismatic sophistication to their steps. You see, when something is pure, when it has the noblest regions as its fundamental purpose, then it will become a candle of sound in the dark cave of silence. Oh, yes, it was a noble sound. I say that it was a noble sound, because we are told today that this great sound is dead. We are told that because it did not co-sign the ignoble proclivities of the marketplace, because it did not lie back and relax in the dungeon with riffraff, because it had an attitude of gut bucket grandeur, and because it sought to elevate through elegance. For all of these things, it has died, for some, a most welcome death. But we must understand that the moneylenders of the marketplace have never, ever known the difference between an office or an auction block. They have never, ever known the difference between the place where bodies were sold and the place where souls were saved. They have never known that there was any identity to anything other than that of a hustle, a shuck, a scam, a game. If you listen to them, they'll tell you that everything is always up for sale. They recognize no difference or distance between the sacred and the profane. For them, everything is fair game to be used in their game. Oh, they chuckle when they hear that the coffin for this noble sound has been built. They offer to donate more nails. They send bouquets instead of wreaths. They feel this sound began to outlive its usefulness the moment it could no longer be abused in the world of prostitution. That world where the beautiful and wondrous act of intimate romance and procreation is reduced to one pitiful fact. A sham ritual in which the customer's appetite for lies is equaled by the prostitute's willingness to tell those lies in whatever detail he is ready to pay for. Tones of lies are vulgar facts, but they are not noble sounds. Oh, but there is another truth, and that truth passes through time in the very same way that an irresistible force passes through an immovable object. That's what I said. This truth is so irresistible that it passes through immovable objects. It is the truth of a desire for a refined and impassioned portrait of the presence and the power and the possibilities of the human spirit. Can you imagine that? A desire for the refined and impassioned depiction in music of the presence and the power and the possibilities of the human spirit. That is the desire that lights the candle in the darkness. That is the desire that confounds dragons who think themselves so grand. We have heard the striking of the match and have felt ourselves made whole in the glow of the candle for a long, long time. It is possible that we who listened heard something timeless from those who are the descendants of the many who were literally up for sale, those whose presence on the auction blocks and in the slave quarters formed the cross upon which the constitution of this nation was crucified. Yet, even after that crucifixion, there were those who rose in the third century of American slavery with a vision of freedom. There were those who lit the mighty wick that extended from the candle and carried it. There were those who spoke through music of the meaning of light. Those who were not content to accept the darkness in the heart that comes when you surrender to dragons who think themselves grand. There were those who said, listen closely now. Those who said, if you give me a fair chance, I will help you better understand the meaning of democracy. Yes, that is precisely what they said. If you give me a fair chance, I will help you better understand the meaning of democracy.
rediffusion d'une émission de Principe Actif. Une rediff, quoi.
en privé à Babylone.
Après Atlantique, on passe à la période Impulse. Déjà, Alvin Jones est là, McCoy, et John, toujours en quête d'un bassiste. Donc changeait régulièrement de bassiste. Après, bon, Art Davis, Steve Davis, des gens comme ça, hein, évidemment, extraordinaire, Jay Workman. Et le plus fou de tout, c'est que j'attendais le bassiste quelque part. Reggie Workman, ça m'avait semblé très proche de la chose. Oui, Workman, ça sonne pas mal. Et là, je prends le temps de regarder une pochette. Je crois que c'était impression. Je vois John Coltrane, McCoy Tyner, Elvin Jones, Jimmy Garrison. J'ai dit, c'est lui. Je n'avais pas écouté le disque. J'ai dit, ça sonnait comme quelque chose de définitif. Pour la période Impulse, Africa Brass a marqué vraiment fort, puisque avec les arrangements, ces cuivres de ces sons de Eric Dolphy, on était en pleine jungle. Africa est très marquant pour ça. Plus que Olé, qui a été enregistré chez Atlantique, qui est magnifique aussi, mais Africa, soudainement, on avait une ouverture incroyable. Un magnifique chorus d'Elvin Jones d'ailleurs, après sont devenus très rares. On peut reprocher une chose au quartet et alors Elvin va nous faire un chorus. Période Impulse. Marquant, évidemment. Cette espèce de silence avant la tempête. C'est pas la tempête, même cette espèce de chose qui est une révélation. On avait la tempête avant Afro Blue, des choses comme ça. Le solo de John Coltrane est effrayant, presque. Et soudainement arrive Crescent, comme une sorte de silence. Tiens, j'avais peur qu'un rentre dans une période sirupeuse. J'ai dit c'est pas vrai, il va lâcher. Non, j'avais rien compris, forcément. Préparait Love Supreme. Et là, à nouveau, tout est chamboulé. On découvre Love Supreme. Tout le monde poussait, même les musiciens qui avaient dit non à John, tout le monde poussait des cris dans les clubs. Moi, j'étais au chat qui pêche. Les gens ont entendu le thème Love Supreme. Et la fro aussi avec Alvin, mais ça a été des cris dans la salle. De joie, de tout le monde dansait en même temps. C'était extraordinaire ce moment de Love Supreme.
principe actif.